Poor Pincus. Poor little Pincus.
Hello, Pincus. Thank you for being here.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for
Eric,
having me.
Eric, that was not my idea. That was Fred's.
I'm used to it. I've known for a long time.
Oh, damn.
It's a lock.
All right. Eric, let's start with this. Did you have any idea that Paul George was having a left knee scope? Because I don't think anybody had any idea he was doing it.
Well, I saw an Instagram picture that he had put out before the press release came from the Thunder, and there was a lot of speculation. Was he, you know, getting his teeth cleaned? A lot of hopeful, but no, it was obvious he was going in for surgery. He got it scoped. I don't know the detail of, obviously it's not terrible. The timeline doesn't sound like anything bad was found. It's not like they had to do anything major. So, you know, it's a part of wear and tear. It's a part of being an NBA player. You're going to get hurt. You're going to need to have procedures. And, you know, it's a concern, but I don't think it's a major one.
Yeah, you know, and when I hear it, I hear exactly the same thing that you just said. It's wear and tear. You know, I've had a number of scopes, and, you know, in fact, I had one during the time I was playing and played 2 weeks later. And so it's not a big deal. But do you think this will affect him this summer as teams are, you know, kind of trying to jockey for position with him?
Well, I mean, didn't Wesley Matthews get a contract with torn Achilles? I mean, he wasn't fully recovered yet. So I'm thinking Paul George is going to be just fine. Look, if they go to sign a contract and he takes a physical and the physical comes back that he's a mess, then the contract's going to be voided. And that's not – I just don't think it's a serious concern. He'll be fine. He's one of the most coveted, if not after LeBron and technically Kevin Durant and Chris Paul, he's one of the most coveted free agents this summer.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up. I know Bovada's just released some odds that the Lakers are now 1-2 favorites to sign him during the offseason, if you like to wager on those types of things. But here's the concern I have with Paul George. We talked about it. Rodney and I did a little bit earlier in the show. He's not the difference maker. He's a big piece, but he's not the guy you build around. Am I crazy?
Well, I think you can build around him and with him, but is he your A? No, he's not your A. He's closer. Call him a potentially souped up Lamar Odom, right? Like the Lakers don't win that title with Powell and with Kobe without Lamar. And that's not a bad thing to be. Lamar's had a tremendous career. And Paul George, we've seen, he's not a guy who can carry a team on his own. He did pretty well in Indiana, but couldn't really. He's not of the caliber of the top guys. So, yeah, the Lakers would be getting a really good piece if he signs. They've got some really young, nice young kids. They don't have to give up anything to get him. But then the question is, what else can they do and who else can they get? And does getting Paul George open up a door to get LeBron James?
Yeah, well, that being said, if the Lakers do try to land Paul George and they go after him hard, do they have to get somebody else, or will they stand pat and say, we got Paul George and we're going to work around that without bringing in, say, a LeBron or Kawhi or someone else?
Well, the goal is, and it's been very clear, Magic and Rob Pelinka don't really play much of the poker game as far as, like, I mean, they don't have any poker faces. They basically put it all out there. And that's okay. But they've been very, very clear that they want two stars to build around. And they'd love to, you know, keep their young kids and build around young those stars with those kids. But they're open to the idea that maybe one of those stars comes this summer and one comes the following summer. So next year, next July, you've got guys like Kawhi, who's a free agent. Maybe he's traded before then, maybe not. Klay Thompson, Kawhi, Kemba Walker, let's see, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, et cetera, et cetera. There's a number of good players available. So while, yeah, they would love to get LeBron and Paul George, you don't know what LeBron's going to do. And so if you don't get him, are they going to be satisfied? No. But I think they're going to protect their money so that whatever they do this year, they are in a position so that next year they can go shopping. Unless, of course, you can trade for one of those guys now. I mean, if you could trade for Kawhi now, then you don't need to save money for Kawhi in a year. So that's the thinking anyway.
Eric Pincus with us, Bleacher Report, Basketball Insiders, also on NBA TV, AM 570 LA Sports, Fred Rogan, and Rodney Pete. Of the names you mentioned, though, Eric, who are the A guys? They're all really good. They're all going to command an awful lot of money. But of that list you mentioned, aside from LeBron, who can carry somebody on their back? Because I don't really hear anyone. Klay Thompson, no. Kyrie, I don't think so. He needs help. So you're paying guys an awful lot of money, but there's not one of them in that group, at least in my opinion, that can put a team on its back and carry it.
Well, I mean, there's only one guy in the league right now who's able to do that, right? Like, that's LeBron. You look at what else is happening, and you say James Harden, and he can carry you to the playoffs, but he couldn't do anything in the postseason. And now they've got Chris Paul, so they've got a couple of guys. And you look at the Warriors, and you've got, what, four All-Stars. Go team by team. How many are there in this league? Even Russell Westbrook has struggled to be more than just an incredible, incredible basketball player. But he struggles to get his team deep into the playoffs, whether he is Paul George or you go the year before and you keep going back. It's very hard to find one guy. I mean, they're generational players. And Kobe was one of them to a degree, but he struggled at times without help. So Kyrie Irving, you look at him, and I think what he did for the first half of the season before he got hurt was really impressive. I think Klay is definitely a complimentary player, similar to Paul George, where they're about as good a complimentary player as you can get, but maybe not your top star. I'm curious what Kawhi is. I don't really know, because San Antonio is a little hard to judge because the Spurs are such a team-oriented concept. Everything they've done has been successful, but it's been in the team, and I'm curious to see if Kawhi leaves, what he is. You can argue that he's the best out of all of them when it comes to being a two-way player, the best defender who can also score at a really, really high clip.
I think that's the issue. Kawhi, where does he fit in the big scheme? Because if you decide he's an a guy that can put somebody on their back and you build around, and the Lakers have a chance to trade for him and trade Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball for him, don't you have to make that move if Kawhi is that good?
No, because he's available in a year. So really, everything's up to Kawhi Leonard, what he wants. And let's go with the assumption that he's healthy, right? That whatever the quad injury is, by next season, it's a memory. And if that's not the case, then forget it, whatever. But if he is, then what happens? The Spurs, on July 1st, can offer him, or thereabouts, a supermax contract that no one else can offer, an extra $30 million. And if they offer that, he should take it. But they may very well not offer it. And if they're not offering it, then he's not going to stick around. And if he's not going to stick around, they have to trade him. So now you get into the trade market, and anyone trading for Kawhi knows he's in the last year of his contract. And if he's not going to sign an extension, then who's going to want to give up a lot? So if you're the Lakers and you have all these pieces, do you offer them, or do you just say, you know what, let's wait till 2019, go ahead and sign him outright, and then you have the kids and you have Kawhi Leonard and you have whatever, let's say Paul George as well. So there's a lot of ways to go about it. Now, there's a point where you say, what would you give up? And you certainly would give up something if you can get him right now locked in. And so, yeah, there is a price Lakers should pay and probably would pay to get Kawhi Leonard. But when you start throwing in all their young prospects, there's just no sense in it. You're better off waiting.
Right. I want to switch gears to this year's playoffs. In Houston, Golden State, you got Boston and Cleveland. How big was it for Chris Paul to get to the finals, Western Conference finals? And then how big will it be if he's able to make it to the NBA finals?
Well, I've covered Chris for some time in Los Angeles, and he's been really the best point guard of his generation and just a tremendous player. He's a leader among his peers as far as running the players union, but he's been a guy who has been associated with to a degree that he's choked in the playoffs, that he hasn't been able to get past a certain point, fair or not. Now, the Clippers were injured half of the time that he was there, either Blake Griffin or Chris or someone was hurt. But then there were those moments where, like against the Thunder, all he has to do is just stand there and get fouled, and he decides to throw an ill-advised pass, and that leads to their downfall. They're up 3-1 on the Rockets. They fall apart. And when you've got the best player at his position, that shouldn't happen. He should be able to guide you past that. So to see him get to the next step, and that game, they were starting to fall apart. I mean, Harden was falling apart to a degree. Eric Gordon couldn't score. And Donovan Mitchell was just going, bananas. And Chris Paul just stepped up, hit his shots, hit a lot of threes, just said, no, we're not losing. So I'm happy for him. There are times where guys can't win, goes years and years, and finally they break through. And right now it looks like this is that year, but now they've got to get past the Warriors, and that's a whole different kind of problem.
Yeah, that's a whole different animal. Now, in the East, we talked a lot about LeBron and what he might do this summer. What has to happen for Cleveland for him to stay in Cleveland? Do they have to win it? Or do they have to get close? I mean, what has to happen for him to stay in Cleveland?
Well, there are the basketball issues, and there are like the general kind of why is LeBron unhappy? And I think some of that stems from his relationship with Dan Gilbert, the owner of the team. They have very different political views. They have very different views on what happened when LeBron left the first time and when he came back. And while they somewhat buried the hatchet, there's no love lost. They're not on the same page. They're not on good terms. That doesn't mean that LeBron won't stay. If they win this thing, and if the front office can show him a path by which they can really improve, let's say they win in the lottery, you know, they have a nice pick. Maybe there's some way where LeBron sees that this is, because what he's doing right now is unreasonable. He's carrying this team almost like nothing we've seen, and he shouldn't be doing this at his age. He needs to be on a team where he can share that responsibility, and that's part of what's working for Chris Paul, is that James Harden is right there. And if James Harden's faltering, yeah, Chris can do it, but he doesn't have to do it 24/7, and that's what LeBron is. So I think there's the basketball side of it. They need to show LeBron why there's a reason why he won't have to work as hard to do the same thing. And then there's the relationship side, and I don't know if that could be repaired or not. We'll have to wait and see.
Eric, thank you for the insight, as always. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, gentlemen, anytime. Always like doing it.